Thanks for joining us for another great message from Influencers Church Australia. We hope it inspires you, encourages you, blesses you, and brings you joy. For more information about our church, go online to influencers.church. And now for our message.
Are you ready to get in the Word? You know what? Beautiful sense of the Spirit here all morning has been the last, you know, always is, but making a point these last few weeks to talk about what it is to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And last week, excited to say as a church, we prayed for people to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, and 49 people spoke in tongues for the first time last weekend, receiving that gift of the Spirit. And we're believing this weekend as well, if you've never received the Holy Spirit, never spoken that heavenly language, today's your day. It says at the end of the service, we're going to pray for you. Isaiah 40 says this, those who wait upon the Lord, everyone say wait. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength or power. Acts 1 verse 4 to 5 says, do not leave Jerusalem, Jesus talking to his disciples, but wait. Say it with me, but wait for the gift my Father's promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be, say it with me, baptized with the Holy Spirit. Verse 8, but you will receive power. When you wait, there's power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your anointing. I thank you that you're here. I thank you for your grace. I pray that as we wait on you, rest in you and hear from you today, that you'll come and fill us with power. Power to see our lives change. Power to walk in miracles. Power to walk in confidence. Power to walk in faith. Power to see souls won. Power to see that new heavenly language come upon us. Power to make a difference and power to hear from you. I pray today that every one of us would sense your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we all said, amen. Who hates to wait? Let's be honest here. Chloe, that was quick. Who hates to wait? I hate to wait. You know, what, you ever had your phone run out and you've sat by your bed and plugged in your phone and then that little battery light comes on and it feels like it's an eternity before that phone? I mean, it's probably only about a minute, but that minute you start getting itchy. You start thinking, is another iPad here? Is there an old phone that's got some charge? Is there a computer I can... Have you ever had that feeling like you're sitting waiting there and then the Apple logo comes up and you're like, how long is this Apple logo going to be on my phone for? And you're just waiting what feels like an eternity, which is just a short time. Who hates waiting for something to microwave? Oh my gosh. You know what? Years ago, before maybe our time, we would have, like a microwave, wow, it cooks it in a minute. I put on 2 minute noodles and I cook them in a minute 30 because I can't wait for the full 2 minutes. Because I hate waiting. I can't stand waiting. I sit there and I'm looking at the microwave timer and I'm checking it with my other clock because I hate to wait. There's nothing worse than waiting. Waiting's not easy for me. If you talk and spend time with me, I love spending time with you, but I'm not good at sitting still. Within about 10 or 15 minutes, I've got to find a bowl, and I start bouncing that bowl or throwing that bowl or any object I can get my hands on. I'll sit for a while. If anyone's been in a meeting or hung out with me, it's not that I don't like spending time. I just have to move, and I get out of my seat and I stretch, and I start doing back stretches and moving and star jumps because I'm no good at waiting. My dog, though, he loves to wait. I've noticed this about dogs. Dogs love to wait. I'm not going to talk about that other pet that some of us have in our homes because I get people complaining whenever I do. Sorry, Deb. But, you know, those smaller, furry, you know, little animals that are less dogs, like mini dogs, like fake dogs that some of us have, they're not good at waiting. When you're not around, they disappear. When you don't feed them when they want, they jump the fence. They leave. They do whatever they like. But dogs, I've noticed dogs are good at waiting. I'll leave home, and if it's cold, we leave our dog inside, and our dog will sit on this little bench right near our door, right near our front door, all day, and just sit there, just waiting all day, all day. It's a postman. It's a postman. It wasn't Dad. It wasn't Dad. It wasn't Dad. That when my dog wants something, wants food, he'll. And he'll just wait. He'll just wait. And if I say, do you want, buddy, do you want to go for a walk? He'll run to the front door and look at me. And just happily wait all day because the dog has an awareness, unlike that other animal that some of us have in our homes, that is our pet, that will leave you in a second. But a dog knows who the master is and who the master isn't. And the dog is always willing to wait. But we don't like waiting. But what was Jesus' last instruction to his disciples? Jesus said, wait. Now, most of us often, and I've heard preached so many times wrongly, Jesus' last instruction to his disciples was to go into all the world and make disciples. It wasn't. His last instruction to his disciples was to wait, to rest, to be still. See, sometimes I think as followers, and I'm saying when I say, I think for me, God fits into my day rather than my day fitting around God. And even as I say that, some of you straight away think, well, how is my day meant to fit around God? I'm just trying to find time for my devotions. I'm trying to find time to pray. I'm trying to find time for my kids. I mean, I don't have time for myself. I've talked about going to the gym for the last 8 years and I haven't done it. There's no time. How is my day meant to fit around God? But the truth is, I think that very modern day thinking that we have, where everything is in such a schedule and in such time, that God just becomes another tick list in our day and church becomes another moment in our week, and our time with God, while we mean it and we want to do well and we want to hear from God, it just becomes another thing we do because we're no good at waiting. Yet Psalm 46 says, be still and know that I am God. Psalm 27 says, I remain confident of this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Who believes that the goodness of the Lord is available for your life? Who believes that God can heal your body? Come on. Who believes that God can save your kids? Who believes that God can make a way? Who believes God can seal another deal? I believe it, but the key is found in the next part of the verse where it says, wait for the Lord. Be strong, take heart, and wait for the Lord. But most of us want the goodness, and we're willing to ask for it, but we're not willing to pray. So we come to Acts chapter 1, and Jesus has risen and appeared to the disciples, and now for 40 days, Jesus has had them get excited about the kingdom of God. He's talking about the kingdom now. He's talking about kingdom to come. He's talking about all the good things that he's going to have them do. He's getting telling them about the places they're going to go. He's beginning to share the secrets of the kingdom and what God has got planned for their life. And I imagine these disciples, all they want to do right here is go and do what Jesus has instructed them to do. They just want to go tell the world that Jesus loves them and Jesus changed them and Jesus has good for them. They just want to go. And all of a sudden, when it feels like nothing can hold them back, it seems like Jesus holds them back. Have you ever felt that God was holding you back? Can we be really honest? Have you ever felt that God is making you wait longer than you should wait? Have you ever felt like God's limited you and held you to a place that you don't want to be because you're so ready to move on? Can I say we live in the most impatient culture of all time? We are so impatient and want everything now more than any time in history. And I think we're doing the same thing to Jesus. Is that we're so impatient with him that we're willing to spend time with him as long as it fits into my time and my schedule and my way of doing things. And I expect the goodness of God, but I expect it in the way I want, when I want, and how I want, instead of being willing to wait and rest on God. And if I'm really honest, I feel there's times where God is holding me back from living my best life because I'm ready for it now. Are we okay today? Luke 24, Jesus says this to the disciples. He says, I'm about to go away. I'm going to send you. He says, it's okay. I'm going to send you guys. I'm going to go. And you guys are going to go. And there's more for you to do. And there's more people to meet. There's more places to go. There's more opportunities. If he was here today, he'd say, it's okay. I'm going to send you. The relationship's coming. That opportunity's coming. That moment's coming. That house is coming. That mission is coming. He says, I'm going to send you. You're going to go. But first, he says, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay. Don't go. Don't run. Don't expect it to be straight away. First, you have to stay. What do I say to my dog? Stay, because I'm the master. And here's a revelation of who the master and who isn't. And but when it comes to God, we feel like we're the master and he's our helper. And he is, but he's also Lord. And put it back on the screen. It says this. It says, so put it back there. He's, but stay. Everyone say stay. Maybe what you got to do is stay. Maybe the answer to going is staying. Maybe the answer to your miracle is staying. Maybe the answer to your next season is staying. Maybe we're so focused on who's next, what's next, where we're next. Instead, the answer is actually found in, say it with me, stay in the city until, because he's not saying forever, he's saying until. He's not saying when you're ready, he's saying until. He's saying it's going to happen, but you don't know when, but until. Everyone say until. Stay until you've been clothed with power from on high. Acts chapter 1 says the same thing in a different way. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father's promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be, say it with me, baptized with the Holy Spirit. But you will receive, in verse 8, power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. If there's anything we lack in life, I think it is the power of the Holy Spirit. And if I'm honest, even if you've been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, I don't think any of us truly have had a full taste and fully comprehend the almighty power of the Holy Spirit. If there's anything the church needs more of, it's the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, I love the worship. I love the lights. I love the renovation. I like preaching, but even Paul said, I don't come with persuasive words. I don't come with convincing arguments. I just come with the power of the Holy Spirit. What we need in our church and what you need and I need in our life is more of power from on high. But there's only one way of getting it. You have to wait. We talked last week that 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 and 10 says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Your answer, your breakthrough, your healing, your miracle that we're all in a rush for, he has already prepared it. We live our life so much, keep it up, working so hard for the things that God has prepared to try and get to those places where maybe we're working for something God's already done. We actually just have to find the key to the doorway. If you weren't here last week, listen to this message, it'll help you. But today we continue with it. So he's already prepared things. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. The truth is, God's plan for your life is that you would have joy, that you would have healing, that you would have breakthrough, that you would have miracles, that you'd have answers to prayer, that the dreams that God's put in your heart would come to pass. You don't have to bend God's arm. You don't have to beg. You don't have to convince. You don't have to steal. You don't have to bring it to his attention. I mean, there's something about a declaration and bringing things in faith. If you don't ask, seek, and knock, you don't get. I believe it. But some of us think that is how we tell God what we need, but the truth is we go to God for what he has already prepared. He's already done it. He's already made it. He's already made a way. Some of us are living boring lives, aren't they? I'm not talking about your personality, but some of us don't live with the joy we're meant to live with. Some of us don't live in the breakthrough power of the Holy Spirit that we're meant to live with. Some of us are just making it through day by day by day. And we say it was my family's fault, or my past fault, or my history's fault, or my job choice, or that person that hurt me. Some of us are living limited lives, but it's not the picture that I see in the Word. There will be trouble that comes my way, but the Bible tells me, take heart, because he's overcome, because he's already prepared an answer. He's already fulfilled it. Some of us are not living the full power, strength-filled lives that we're meant to live. That is only by living in what God has prepared. That is only received by the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, the first miracle Jesus did when he turned water to wine was to turn religious thinking on its head. That was all about just the way we did and the way I acted was the way I would get approval from God. And they'd carry their lot in life and they thought following God was a religious act, but Jesus came to say heaven was a party, heaven was a wedding feast, heaven was a celebration. What does wine represent? It represents joy and laughter and dancing and celebration. That's who the Holy Spirit is. He's the new wine that God wants to pour into renewed wineskins. Not to say stay where you are, but I'm turning this on its head. I don't want you to live religious, limited, boring lives, but the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit that leads to joy and laughter and dancing and celebrations and access to what he's prepared is available for you. Come on, you're too quiet for hearing a Holy Spirit message this morning. Does this sound like a party? It's meant to be. This is celebration. He's living water. He's sparkling water, not still water. He's not dead calm water. He's living water. And some of us feel like I'm going to get hydrated by getting the water on me. Let me tell you, if you're thirsty, you don't need water on you. You need water in you. Some of us just haven't had a drink in a while of the living water of the Holy Spirit that wants to come and from within bring life to your soul. See, I just think most of us are mistaken for who God is. We think he's a tap. Because don't we know, if I need a drink, all I've got to do is get to a... I've got to get to a tap. If I want water, I just got to get to a tap. Because we think, if I turn the tap on, water will flow. If I turn the tap off, water will stop. And we do the same with God. We often live our life with God where I need God right now. I'll turn God on. I'm okay. I'm doing life. I'm doing work. I turn God off. I've come into church. I turn God on. I leave church. I turn God off. I have devotions. I turn God on. I go into my day. I turn God off. I need a miracle. I turn God on. I'm doing okay. I turn God off. Because God's like a tap. Because we think that the tap's where the water comes from. But the water doesn't come from the tap. The truth is, I can turn this tap all I want right now, but the water doesn't flow from the tap. The water flows from a reservoir in another place, but there has to be a connection, and that reservoir has to be connected for the tap to flow with water. See, the reason some of us don't live with breakthrough power, with the breakthroughs and miracles we're believing for, with the Holy Spirit living water life, is because we're turning on the tap and turning off the tap and turning on the tap and turning off the tap, but it was never about a religious act or a regular prayer. It was about a reservoir of living water being on the inside of me, that I wouldn't have to just turn God on, but rather than God being turned on and turned off, I would live with that reservoir of the Holy Spirit in my life, so there could be a flow at any time and every time, because it wasn't just something I was connected to, but it was a person that lived on the inside of me. There needs to be a reservoir that gets on the inside of you again. Feeling dry is not about a pastor turning a tap on in a meeting. Feeling dry is not about a preacher on the internet turning a tap on a revelation. It's about getting the Holy Spirit to bubble and live on the inside of you for the first time, or to do it again. Because people fall in love with taps. They go shopping for taps. They go looking for taps. People love taps. Oh, I love that worship leader. Oh, I love that song. We fall in love with taps. I love that preacher. Oh, I love that style. Oh, I love, and we fall in love with taps. Like they did with Jesus. They fell in love with the miracles. I love the wine. I love the fish. I love the bread. I love the walking. I love the hearing. So Jesus has to say eventually, in the book of John, he says, it'd be better that I go. He said, it'd be better that I go. Because you're going to fall so in love with these miracles, it'd be better I go, because if I don't, you can't receive the same reservoir that I have in my life. Because the people that followed Jesus were just like us. Turn the tap on, do a miracle. Turn the tap off, they disappear. Say something he likes, they come. Say something they don't like, they disappear. And they did the same tap on, tap off thing. So Jesus went, you know what? You love the miracle more than the miracle worker. You love the provision more than the provider. You love the healing more than the healer. So he said, it'd be better I go, because you would realize it's not actually about the miracles. It's not actually about the water. It's about the reservoir that's on the inside of me. And if I go, you can have that same reservoir living on the inside of you, so that you can see all that I've been doing and even more. See, it's not the anointing is not about the fruit. The anointing is actually not about the miracles. The anointing is not about the tingles or the feelings. The anointing is the equipping and empowering to get the work done that God has for your life. And when we chase the things, we'll just get the things, but eventually it'll turn off, because God wants you to know there's more. There's a reservoir. There's living water that can live on the inside of you, because that will anoint you to see all that God has already prepared for your life. See, I love that Jesus says, maybe just May can come. Everyone can hang for a bit. Says, when the Spirit comes upon you, do you notice when it doesn't say when the church comes upon you? It doesn't say when you come upon a church. When the Spirit comes upon you. Here's why. Because tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, whenever difficulty comes your way, the church won't be there. I mean, people love you, people will pray with you, people will stay with you. But the truth is, it was never about a church meeting, and it was never about a preacher. It was never about a worship service. It was always about the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, because he's the one that wants to come with you, not just today, but into your tomorrow, and saturate you each and every day. Truth is, most of us have been marked by the Spirit, and I would say this for myself, even as a person that loves the Holy Spirit, being in more encounter meetings than I could remember. Grown up believing and speaking in tongues. But until recently, I haven't fully understood what it was to be baptized in the Spirit. Because I saw some of the fruit, I thought I was baptized, but I'm starting to wonder, am I really? Because God doesn't want to mark you. God doesn't want to touch you. And we use language like that, and sometimes I feel that can lead us astray. The Holy Spirit doesn't want to touch you. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would baptize you. Would baptize you. So what does it mean to be baptized? Well, firstly, let me just say this. Does anyone here love a good soak in the shower? Who's a shower soaker? Who spends way too long in the shower? I do. I get in there and I do my business and, prepare and I clean and all the rest. And then after I get past all that, I soak. I tell you, when I start to soak, ideas come. When I start to soak, thoughts come. When I start to soak, ease comes. I think some of us are the same with God. We come to God and we prepare and we clean and we do what we've got to do. But some of us don't soak with God long enough, so we don't get the revelation and the answers that we've been looking for, because God's just a moment. You see, when I soak in that shower, all of a sudden, so for me, it's like a flow comes into my life. God doesn't want just a prayer time with you, and God doesn't want just a worship session with you, but God wants a flow where you just be still and you begin to soak so that He can baptize you. Acts 1 verse 5 says, for John baptized with water, say it with me, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is very clear, would you be touched or baptized? Would you be touched or baptized? Would you be marked or baptized? So what's the difference? See, baptism is not a church word, although we think it's a church word, but it's actually quite an old word. It's the best English word they could find to describe what Jesus was saying. And here's the illustration. If there's a ship on the water, and that ship is sailing on the water, we would see that ship there. But if that ship were to spring a leak, and that ship were to begin to sink, and that ship were to go into the water and be consumed by the water, we would say today that ship has sunk. But the older term would be that ship has been baptized. Let's keep going. It's changed forever. See, clothing that maybe is of one color, maybe a white shirt or a white bit of material, if that were to get dye or ink on it, we would say that piece of cloth has been marked. But what would happen is they would get that cloth and they would hold that cloth that was maybe white in some red dye or some red ink. And what they would say is they were baptizing the cloth. See, when that cloth went and spent time just soaking in the dye, it came in looking one way and came out looking another. It was saturated, penetrated, and changed forever, because there was a difference. It wasn't just marked or touched. It was baptized in the dye, and it now comes out looking completely different. Some of you girls spend a monthly or every term or so going to the hairdresser, and you see some of your gray hairs be baptized in the dye. You see, what we would say is maybe getting a hair color, but back in the day, they would say your hair is being baptized. It's not just being touched, it's being changed. It goes in one way and it comes out rejuvenated and fresh in a different way. What Jesus would do and others would do is they would get a piece of bread without all the flavorings and tastes that we had today. And what they would do, they'd get oil and they'd get wine and they'd get the bread, and they wouldn't just dip it in the bread. They'd let it sit, they'd dip it in the wine and the oil. They'd let the bread sit and rest inside the oil and rest inside the wine, because the bread tasted one way, but when they took the bread out of being baptized in the wine and baptized in the oil, the bread would come out with a different taste. Here's what it is when the ship is on the water, the ship is on the water, but when the ship is baptized, the water's in the ship. There's a difference from you being on the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit on you, but when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you soak, you get penetrated, you have time where He begins to fill every bit of you. Not that you would rest on Him, but that He would rest in you. Come on. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't want to just be a touch in a service. The Holy Spirit wants to come and fill you and cover every part of you. It's not that the Holy Spirit wants to be in part of your life. The Holy Spirit wants to be in your life. He wants you to walk into prayer one way and walk out of prayer looking completely different. He wants you to have a flavor in your life that when you soak in the new wine and you soak in the oil, then you soak in the living water, that you begin to have a different flavor in your life. That people saw you one way, but you went and spent time and just waded and saturated in the Holy Spirit, and you came out rejuvenated, not because He's a touch, not because He marked you, not because you went to a meeting, but because you were soaked and baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit. See, some of us want prayer to change things. So they're a quick, God, would you do? But maybe God doesn't want to change things. Maybe God wants to change you, because He's already prepared the things. But that doesn't happen in a, hey, God, would you? Because it's all about the fruit and it's all about the miracle. But He says it's not about the tap, it's about the reservoir. That you would be filled with living water like a sunken ship. That it would cover you, surround you, and be in you. Because rather than God changing things, if God can change you, you can get to the things by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we think faith and the Holy Spirit is God doing things for us, when maybe God's more about doing things in us. And the only way God can do things in us is if you wait and you stay and the team can come. Peter, look at Peter. Peter's one man before Jesus ascends into heaven. Yet after Acts chapter 2, he stands up bold as anything, sharing the word, and 3,000 men plus women and children came, were saved, right? And we say it was because the Holy Spirit touched him. I would say yes, but it was also the waiting and the soaking that happened beforehand that he came out changed, not just touched. Because so many people have come from a Holy Spirit meeting and they've received a touch, but they walk out the same. But God's not into you getting a touch and walking out the same. He's into you waiting and staying so he can soak and saturate you till you get to a place that you are so filled with oil, you are so filled with wine, you are so filled with the Holy Spirit that when he comes upon you in power, you're combustible, that what seems like tongues of fire appears above your head, because it was never about a touch from God. It was about the oil of God getting inside of you. It was about a reservoir on the inside of you. It was always about change on the inside of you that could permeate onto everyone. Some of us are burning out because you've got no oil. But I've been marked, no, if you don't have the oil that soaks and saturates you, you'll burn out and you'll start burning the wick. It was never into burning your wick and burning out. It was always about burning the oil of the Holy Spirit on your life. That He's an all-consuming fire, not touching you, but consuming you. Here's the thing. I feel so strong. The presence of God is in this room. But it's the presence of God in you. Not on you, but in you. Is the ship on the water, or is the water in the ship? Am I going and turning on what I need from God, or am I living with a reservoir of the Holy Spirit that can only come from time with Him? You see, the band can come, team can come out, let's stand to our feet. See, when it's on our time, I genuinely believe this, and I'm saying this from revelation with myself. I feel such ease today. Because all I've done this week is just soak. Just soak. See, if you want to do God on your time, you won't walk in the power of God. You'll walk touched by God and in conversation with God, but not in the full power of God that only comes through waiting. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I believe that the goodness of the Lord will be seen in the land of the living, but first wait. Be still and know that He is God. But I will send power from on high. You'll be baptized by the Holy Spirit, but you have to wait. You have to soak to be transformed. You have to be still to have all of what God has, so that He wouldn't just come and touch you today, but the Holy Spirit would begin to come and permeate and fill every part of you. That I don't want a meeting today where we just turn on the power of God, let's go into a song and let's see what God does. But maybe it actually requires us to get a little bit awkward and to get a little bit shifty and a little bit itchy and a bit like, ah, shouldn't we be doing something more? And maybe that's the very problem, that every time I get with God, I'm thinking about the next rather than just being still with Him, because I'm thinking God hasn't spoken yet and moved yet. Yet I fit God into my time rather than fitting my time into God. I'd say, this week, I went and drove in the hills, right? And this is where I go to pray. But lately I've been walking, and walking for me is good, but it doesn't do what driving does. You've got to find where you meet with God. And I started driving in the hills, because when I was younger and I had my car, I'd just go on these drives with God, saying, God, would you use me one day? God, would you let me preach the word one day? God, would you fill me up? And I would pray with God in the hills. And it was like I met Him in the hills, and all of a sudden I'd be filled up as I drive my car. So I go driving this day, right? A couple days ago, and I'm driving and my head's thinking, and I'm running out of time, and I've told God, you've got 35 minutes today, right? And I've limited God because I've got to be somewhere. And partway through I thought, nah, I'm just going to keep on driving. And I kept on driving, and then suddenly after like 45 minutes there is a point where, while I was singing before and I was praying before, it was okay, but all of a sudden, like, I can't describe it, it's like an anointing from heaven came upon my life. Because what I didn't realize is that my reservoir that was dry was getting filled up again. And all of a sudden it got to a point where it was filling and filling and filling, because I was soaking and soaking and being permeated in the dye, in the wine, in the color, in the water. And all of a sudden it was like rivers of living water began to flow out of my mouth. All of a sudden I began to pray in tongues and speak with authority, and I didn't need long there. That's the beautiful thing. Have you ever prayed and gone, whoa, I prayed for so long and only at the end did it get good, and we feel guilty? Don't feel guilty. Just a moment with the Holy Spirit is all that you need, because we're looking for the tingles, we're looking for the fruit, but rather it's the waiting, it's the wanting, it's being still, it's being baptized that sees the Holy Spirit bit by bit begin to cover you and fill you up, and you walk in one way and you walk out different. You go in one way and you come out tasting and looking and sounding different. Want more joy? Want more answers? Want more breakthrough? Want more miracles? Maybe it's not about those things. Maybe it's about the Holy Spirit in you, because He's already prepared those things. Maybe it's Him just coming and saying, God, have I ever really truly been baptized? Or has it been a while? Let me say it for me. It's been a while since I've been fully, absolutely baptized in the Holy Spirit like I'm feeling right now. And I'm not too proud to stand on this stage and say, I pray, I push in, but I've just found there's a deeper well. There's another type of baptism. There's a deeper saturation that I need on my life that doesn't come in the moments. It comes in the waiting. It comes in the staying for the anointing that results in power.
Hello, thank you so much for watching this video today. I pray this sermon has blessed you, encouraged you, and inspired you. You know, we may never have met, I may not know you, but God knows you. And I want to tell you today, God loves you. That even before you knew about Him, He loved you, and He has a plan and a purpose for your life. You know, so many of us do life on our own, trying to lead our life in a way that finds answers and finds the peace and finds the joy we're looking for, but we come up short. But God knew that you needed rescuing, that you needed saving, that you needed His love. So He sent His Son Jesus to come and pay the price for our mistakes. He lived a perfect life, but knowing we couldn't, He said, I will take their place. So He died and rose again so that His death could pay the penalty for my mistakes and my past, and His life could make a way so that I could have life. I believe that when you believe in what Jesus did and when you invite Him to be Lord of your life, you can experience forgiveness, peace, hope, joy, purpose, and life like you've never known before. It's not about what we've done or who we're not. It's about that we have a God who's good, who can turn things for good, and loves you. He's a father, He's a friend, and you can invite Him into your life today by simply saying this prayer after me. I'm gonna say this prayer, and wherever you are, wherever you're watching around the world, pray this prayer with me. Maybe you once knew God and you walked away. You know what? Maybe He's getting your attention today to say, come back into relationship with me. Maybe you've known religion, but never a real genuine relationship with God. Why don't you say this prayer too? And I believe this can be the beginning of a great new day. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for loving me and giving your life for me. I pray you forgive me for my past and you walk with me into my tomorrow. Let me know your grace, your forgiveness, your peace, your purpose, your joy, and your hope into my life. I ask you to lead me and guide me from this day forward. Be Lord of who I am, in Jesus' name, amen. I'm so glad you prayed that prayer today. I believe that as you did, the peace, the grace, and the love of God comes into your life. You know what? The past is real, but it doesn't have to dictate your future. Let the love, the grace, and the word of God go with you from this day forward, and I believe the best days are ahead for you. If you prayed this prayer, or you want to know more, maybe you're on the journey, why don't you flick us an email so we can send you some material about following Jesus. We can maybe connect you with a local church near you that you can do life with, get good people around you, and we would love to pray with you. I'm so glad you prayed that prayer. I'm so glad you're on the journey of following Jesus. I'm so glad you listened today. God bless.